We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. I sometimes do this where I put like a little bit of something before the episode to kind of give a little context, and I think this is one time that deserves it. We really want to promote a couple things, and that's why we're uploading this. So tomorrow, by the way, we have a big special guest on Heat Beat, which everyone's going to love. Normal time on twitch.tv/MIAHeatBeat at 7 p.m. Eastern time. I'm going to be on and a guest that I think is going to make a lot of you guys really happy. So be on the lookout for that. So that's going to be a normal episode tomorrow. Today, we're doing something a little differently. So if you've followed us on Twitter and if you've heard us talking, we do these things called Locker Room Sessions. Now, Locker Room is an app for Apple and now for Android, by the way. Congratulations. Woohoo. So Android people can get it on this, where it's kind of like Clubhouse or like Twitter voice spaces or whatever, where we kind of do like a little live show from our phone. So it's a little bit different. We take callers. A couple people from Heat Twitter kind of joined in. We got in on the conversation. So normally we don't put these on the pod feed because we don't want to clutter things, right? We already do content like almost every day. And we don't want to make this feed insufferable. But because we had an off day and because there was nothing really going on and we had the show tomorrow with the guests, wanted to kind of promote this. Like, I wanted you to see what kind of show we're doing over there. And if you like it, and let's say you can't make the locker rooms because, you know, you don't have time or you work or we do them during the day, we upload them all to our Patreon feed, patreon.com/MiamiHeatBeat. So patreon.com/MiamiHeatBeat. And we upload them all there. So if you want to sign up to get those episodes, if you want that little bit of extra Heat content, especially with the playoffs coming up and all that stuff, you know, get in on that over there. So without further ado, here is our locker room exclusive podcast that we are giving you a taste of. It feels like Miami. Miami, 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 Miami.
Miami, Miami, Miami. It feels like Miami. Good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Miami Heat Beat locker room session things. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas. Today's going to be a fun day because today these are going on the pod feed. Today this is going on the main feed. So if you are in this locker room, you'll be heard by the vast audience of Miami Heat Beat. So I'm here with Tiff. What did we decide on? You're the master of reality checks.
Yes, I love it.
Master reality. Tiffany Meeks. We also got shadow producer Brian M. Brian, what's up?
Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
Tiff, let's get into last night a little bit, because I have some thoughts, and I want you as the reality check master to give us, I think, the things that we need to hear. So yesterday, no Jimmy,
right?
The offense was good. I will say this: they had a 117 offensive rating this quarter for 100 points. Other than that really bad third quarter, their offense looked good. So I kind of want your thoughts on what do you take away from that? Because the game with no Jimmy and a game where Luka just goes nuts and then Tim Hardaway Jr. absolutely goes Nova. I don't really know what you're supposed to make of that.
I don't take anything away from it. I think if you've been watching this season in its entirety, there's nothing to take away from it. You didn't have Jimmy. That's not an excuse, obviously, because I think personally they had enough to win the game. You make a few key stops here, couple of key baskets here, you win the game. They had enough. They just didn't win. That's it.
Like, the game, you know that second quarter.
Would we like more points from Bam? Of course. Would we like more points from Ariza in the third and the fourth quarter? Of course.
Tiff, you there? You there?
I just heard her just cut
yeah,
off.
Yeah, she just cut off. Well, I mean, we are listen. We are a well-oiled machine like the Heat in the second quarter. Ariza scoring 2 points outside of the first quarter is really funny, considering I tweeted out in all caps the Ariza game with many exclamation points. So, right. Yeah. So that's an issue. We'll get into the Bam stuff later. I mean, honestly, that was a game where I think you missed Jimmy defensively more than anything, because when Tim Hardaway is absolutely baking Kendrick Nunn and Duncan Robinson. And at least in Duncan's case, I don't even think like Duncan did a bad job. It's just like he doesn't have the size or the strength, and really, like, that's just, listen, he's not a lockdown defender, especially like as a one-on-one guy. That's where you need Jimmy, because in that situation, you know, you put Jimmy on him, and you get a little bit of length, a little bit of physicality, kind of maybe cools him down a little bit. I mean, it was just way too easy for him.
Right. And you know, here's the thing about it. Like, when you look at those types of teams where if you've got a main guy like Luka and then you have another guy who has the potential to just go off like that, it's also just kind of like you could have still lost that game with Jimmy. You know, it's like we have to be realistic about the fact that, like, Luka has turned into a guy that can get what he wants when he wants.
So, I mean, Bam in the first half, I thought, did a really good job on
him. He did, and Luka still was getting he still was scoring. So those are the things you live with. Like, you make it hard for him, and if he scores, you pat him on the ass and you run back down the court. Like, that's just what it is. Like, they're not going to win all these games, but you just hope that, like, if a loss is a loss, it's not a disparaging loss. Like, I don't feel bad about that loss.
I feel a little bad about it, but I kind of get what you mean. We are welcoming in. Listen, this is big time. Brian Goines, producer and co-founder, is gracing us with his presence on the lowly locker room sessions. Brian, I thought you were too big time for us. What's going on? Why are you here?
Listen, I woke up early this morning for work at 6 a.m. Woke up yesterday at 5 a.m. I got nothing better to do for these next 30 minutes than talk to you guys. So you got
me
here.
That makes me feel really good. That makes me feel great. Brian, I know that you're...
Nothing better than talking Heat basketball with my Miami Heat beat crew.
That's right.
You are a fan that teeters on disaster more than anyone else. You experienced last night how?
I turned it off after the first half because I knew we were going to lose.
That's it. You just yeet it out. You saved yourself the anguish.
And I played Madden instead. I was basically playing Madden 22 because I downloaded a new custom roster. And I played with the new draft picks that the Dolphins signed. Drafted rather.
Is that what we're doing now?
Had 3 touchdowns on 10 catches. So very good.
I don't know. Is that good? I don't know. I don't know football.
And 3 touchdowns is good for any player, no matter what sport you're playing.
Especially a rookie coming in doing that.
Well, look at that.
It was preseason, though, so I don't know if it really counts.
I can't even blame you because the writing was on the wall in that second quarter. Because they actually, you know, when the Mavs went on a little run, Tiff, the Heat punched back, right? They went on a little 5-0 run and the Mavs called timeout. And I was like, huh, okay, I feel good. They took that punch from the Mavs. They responded a little bit. They kind of got into their offense. I think Kendrick hit a shot, which was big because he struggled early in that game. And then the wheels came off completely.
Right.
Who's making all these left turns right now?
Me.
Okay, I was like, I hear like a turning signal like every 5 seconds.
It's me. It could be me too.
Well, I've been driving to find like a stable connection. So to peek behind the curtain, you know, we do these lockers every morning, and most of us work. We have stuff to do. So
I'm in the car.
Yeah. So what I do is I usually park by the Salty Donut in South Miami because I have really good data there, right? So I have a job around there. And I usually just park there because
you're only there so you can get the guava cheese donut. Don't lie.
I can't. No, I usually get a coffee. I'm on a diet. I'm watching my figure again. We're back. We're back into culture mode. But you know, maybe I'll get a cold brew with oat milk after. But you know, regardless,
but that guava and cheese donut though. I mean, it is.
Oh my god, it's
other level.
They have it now here. I mean, thankfully I moved, so I can't use Uber Eats and have it delivered here anymore. But yeah, man, that's dangerous.
It's fine. No, it is during the pandemic, it was very dangerous. It was, listen, I had my fair share of salty donut. But yeah, so I've been.
Sponsor us.
Yeah, sponsor us. I've been sifting around for, I think I found a spot with good internet in front of some jewelry store. So, you know, I think we're good. Okay, we're going to bring in Luke here as a speaker. What's up, Luke? What you got?
Hey, Luke.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. Quick shout out to Wayne Cole in the crowd.
Hey,
one of my favorite people.
Shout out to Wayne.
So when we look at what happened last night, obviously no Jimmy. Our offense is not the best without him. For the playoffs, obviously we're hoping we have Victor back, but if we don't, are we just going to throw up our hands and say, okay, well, Jimmy's got to play 48 or we're not going to score? What's the best thing to do, I mean, going forward when we know that Jimmy's not going to be playing 48 minutes a game?
Listen, Jimmy said in his quote, as long as the team gets to the playoffs, I'll take you from there.
I'm going to tell you the truth, Luke. Even if you get Victor back, Jimmy's playing 40.
Yeah.
So that's not a question. It doesn't matter if Victor comes back or not. Jimmy's going to have to play 40.
How many minutes do you think – I'm going to look it up. How many minutes do you think Jimmy and Bam both played, even Goron too, in that first round against the Pacers?
I'm going to look it up. I don't think that – I honestly don't think it that factors into it because we're not the same team.
And there's no easy matchup in the first round that's going to have injured. You know, the Pacers didn't have Sabonis.
Exactly.
Easiest match would be the Knicks.
Yeah, no, I think we're all in agreement on that.
We're all in agreement that that's the best matchup. We don't know if that's the easy matchup. We don't know who we have.
Best doesn't mean good.
I don't trust the Knicks, man. I really don't.
I want to.
Hey,
don't
easy
trust our help.
Easiest doesn't mean easy.
Right.
Easiest does not mean easy.
That's the biggest problem, our health. Nothing is easy going forward because we're not healthy.
Luke, we appreciate you, man. I kind of want to also say, like, yesterday the offense, I want to reiterate, yesterday the offense wasn't a problem. They had a 117 offensive rating in that game. That is more than enough for this team to get it done, considering who they are in defense. So that was just really, I don't even want to say a failure of the defense. Because like we said, you know, without Jimmy, you know, they really lose that size. I mean, Andre was just, man, it was rough on both ends for him. Ariza got in foul trouble, which that's honestly like another part of the game, like in that third quarter. You know, they really could have put together a little run, and he picked up the fourth foul early. That was kind of a disaster, and that's when Tim Hardaway really went off. So they lose that kind of really rangy, sizey wing that you can switch.
They the reality is this team is built to have Jimmy on the court.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's it. They're built to have Jimmy on the court. There's just no way around it. And it's fine, but we also have to accept the games that happen like this when he doesn't play. Luckily, it's just a stomach issue and it's not an ankle or anything like that, you know. So there is a positive to look at it. It's a stomach issue.
Is it confirmed that it's a stomach issue?
I think someone reported that he was tested and he's negative.
He's negative, yeah.
Yeah, Spo said that in the pregame.
Okay. So it might be what Duncan had.
Exactly. So that's why I'm saying, like, that's the positive you take. Okay, you didn't have Jimmy, but it's a stomach issue, and then he should be right by Friday.
Yeah, it sounds like it's been going around the locker room. I got some stats.
Didn't UD have it? All right, Brian gives some stats, and then we get to Dr.
They're very basic counting stats, but they're stats regardless. So Jimmy Butler, in the first round of the playoffs against the Pacers, played exactly 33.7 minutes per game. Bam played 34.3, and Goron played 34.1.
So that's a healthy minute distribution. Well, under they 40 don't have minutes a luxury.
One thing I want to bring up before we get to Dr. Strus, I know that Jimmy was out because he was sick and all that, but he had two games where he didn't play the fourth. He didn't play yesterday, and they have 2 days off. Mm-hmm. So we may actually have a semi-rested Jimmy, the most rest he's had since coming back.
Right. That's why I said, luckily it's a stomach. So he literally he's resting.
Mm-hmm.
Victor Oladipo only played 30 minutes. That's right. He was hurt that one game.
He was just coming back. Yeah,
he was just coming back. Dr. Strus, welcome to the I think this is your first time on speaking. What's up, man?
What's up, guys? First time, long time. I did have a question before I got to that. It's Cinco de Mayo, and it's pretty clear that Heat Twitter is drunk this morning. They've been hitting the tequila. I've seen that Bam is not a max player. Kendrick Nunn sucks. We're firing Spoelstra. The crazy takes are out there this morning, so beware of that.
The usual.
But I did have a question, and I know, G and Tiff, you guys do a good job of breaking down the basketball side of things. Defensively last night, I agree, offense wasn't a problem. They just shot better than we did. But defensively, you saw the Heat play man-to-man and switch. You saw them man-to-man and blitz ball screens. You saw them play 2-3. They 2-3 trapped. They did the 2-2-1. I mean, and they still have people saying Spoelstra didn't adjust. Like, what did you want the guy to do? Box him one, triangle him two, diamond press? Like,
Right.
I don't know what else he could have done.
No, there was nothing else he could have done. Like, people always forget, you're as good as your personnel. That's it. Like, we didn't have Jimmy to throw out there. So, you've got a lot of lesser defenders who play very good help defense. So you mix and match your defense according to your personnel. And that's all you can do. And you train for missed shots. That's it. There was nothing else they could have done.
I think the other part of this is like I said a little earlier, like they didn't have the size because of Ariza's foul trouble and Jimmy not being there, right. Andre just laying a goose egg. So, normally they can throw a lot of length, especially on the blitzes, especially on switches. And that just wasn't there yesterday. And that's why it was relatively like a medium turnover game for Dallas. And I think when Miami's really clicking, they're really, really getting deflections. They're really, really putting pressure. I thought KZ showed a couple flashes early and then just gave him nothing in the second half. Kind of the story of him. So,
but, gee, that's all your personnel. Who's available? Yeah. That's it. And they did. They mixed it up as well as possible. And, you saw guys trying, but it's just like, all right, if Jimmy was here, he'd be in that spot and you don't need player X. But Jimmy's not here. So you let KZ go out and try to give you something.
It wasn't really driving kick stuff either because, the Mavs didn't have a ton of assists as a team. It was like pull-ups, right? The Heat had like a significantly more amount of assists than Dallas, I think, last night. And that's just because Dallas was going unassisted three after three. Hardaway, obviously 10 of 18. Luka hit some ridiculous. I mean, I wonder, Tiff, as a player, like, how do you feel like when somebody hits a ridiculous shot over your good defense and that happens over and over? Is that like demoralizing? Like, I don't know. How does that affect you?
I think, like, early on, it is demoralizing. But the longer you play any sport and things like that happen, you realize that it happens. And it doesn't just happen to you. It happens to everybody. So there's a huge difference in it. It's not like, you know, these guys have only been playing basketball for a year. They've been playing for quite some time, and they've seen people make ridiculous shots. They've made ridiculous shots on people. They just, you know, some nights you do the cooking and some nights you get cooked. That's just what it is.
Dr. Struess, thanks so much, man. Nate, you want to plug your locker room sessions? Because I know you do some here on game days.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys answering the question. I'm trying to do those game day vitamins kind of pregame right around the same time that you guys do your shows the day after. So on game days, right around noon, I have my teaching lunch break. So I plug that real quick before I have to go back and change the world, I guess. Teacher Appreciation Week, guys.
Teacher Appreciation Week. Thank you, Doc. You're the best, man. I went to bed upset. So, like, you know, I'm so toxic after Heat losses. I don't show it on the timeline, but I'm, like, in my personal life, I'm so fucking toxic. It's bad. I'm horrible. I'm, like, I'm so mean-spirited. I'm, like, I become a different person. I don't know why. And it's certain losses that get me this way. Last night, I was, like, I was mad. I was, like, man, I know that I shouldn't be upset. Because of the way that the game played out, the machinations of the game, it's just some of their bad habits really came out, and it just frustrated me to no end.
But that's okay. Yeah. That, you know, but that's my whole thing. It's like sports bring out emotions in people, and that's the great thing about sports. It allows you to have all these unwavering emotions that swing both ways, right? So you get really high with the wins, you get really low with the lows. That's the whole thing about being a fan, and the word is driven from fanatic. So that's why it's just all so uncontrollable. And that's why I'm always like, I don't care. Let people have their moment on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, and they're going to say what they're going to say about Bam and Nunn and blah, blah, blah when there's a bad game. And then there's a good game, they're allowed to change the tune of the song because that's just how it goes. And you know what? None of our opinions matter at the end of the day.
So what you're saying is that Brian can tweet out after a bad loss, Pat Riley failed Jimmy Butler. I think that's what you're saying.
Yes, as long as he does it from his personal account, he can do whatever he wants.
Like, listen, we got over 1,000 likes. I feel like that was worth it.
Like, I don't care. That's the, you know, and it's like, don't be the gatekeeper of everyone's emotions.
Like, I'm with you.
That's a sad look on an adult. Stop telling people how to feel. Because at the end of the day, you're telling people how to feel, which means you feel a certain way too. So,
it's paradoxical sports.
Right. It's okay. Listen, nobody wants them to lose. But guess what? They lost and they didn't lose any ground in the standings, I don't think. So you know what? It's another day.
Now the real stuff comes up because the Knicks schedule gets brutal. They're going to have their two games of fate against Boston. So really, I think the season is really – we've really entered the stretch run. This is the important stuff. New York is playing that gauntlet of a schedule. Atlanta is no cupcake run either. They have the Sixers have, as Zach Lowe calls it, an angel cake food schedule going forward. They are up 2.5, I think, on the Nets for the one seed. So they can lock that up by the time they get to the Heat game. The Milwaukee could be firmly locked into 3. And Miami might catch a couple breaks going their way. So let's talk a little bit about kind of their playoff positioning. And we've talked a lot about, like, where we think they're going to end up and this and that. But, like, I think you get a week off for the play-in. So if you avoid the play-in tournament, you get a whole week off where I think not just getting your bodies right, but you get some practice time that you haven't had this season.
Right.
And they're still incorporating a lot of guys. And not to mention, whenever, if and when Vic comes back, that's another guy that hasn't – I don't think he's played a single minute with Deadman.
Right. No, he hasn't.
Or if he has, it's been very little. Like, there's something to be benefited from not being in the play-in and having that week of practice and preparation. And by the way, you're not affected, right? So if they end up in six through four, you know, they're going to know their matchup right away, right? They're, they're not, you know, you're not, you know, it's not like you're seventh and you go, well, I might play this team or no, like, you know who you're going to play at that point. So you can have that week and Spo with a week of preparation. I like.
Right. Right. No, I agree. I think, yeah, they could finish anywhere, but they definitely need to go strong into that time off, and hopefully they're not in the play-in, and they can and they also might need, let's be realistic, they might need a little time away from each other.
That happens
also, like, they just might need a little bit of time away from each other to get their minds right, to get ready for this stretch run, because I think this is going to be, we saw where we thought characters were made last year in the bubble. I actually think this is where we're going to see characters being made or dismantled. I think this is the playoff to where we say, all right, this team is almost there. You're just missing X. Or we're going to look at this playoffs and go, oh no, they're missing a lot.
So 100%
Tiff. I think this is it, you know. And listen, people are playing for contracts. Like, you think Ariza wants to come back next season? I bet he does. You think Mr. Deadman's looking for somebody to pick him up next season? I'm sure he does. Kendrick Nunn is free agent. These guys, there's a lot on the line that, like, we don't even touch on because we're pissed off that Bam didn't take enough shots.
That's something that I'm like,
over half the team doesn't have a contract for next year that's guaranteed.
Yeah, do we only have five people on the roster next season right now?
Technically, yeah. That's if we're picking up the options on a couple of guys on the team.
Brian, what do you think gets done with Iguodala, you know, before we get into some of the BAM stuff? Because he has a team option for about $15 million. And that's interesting because if they declined, obviously, you know, you'd never don't want cap space. But if they're in a position where they need to sign and trade, that $15 million contract is going to be their golden ticket. But obviously they're not going to know because free agency happens after the opt-in, opt-out period. So how do you think that plays out?
They can push his opt-out later if they need to.
They can? How much later?
I think about a week after free agency starts.
Okay. Oh wow! I did not know they could do.
Part of his salary gets guaranteed. So if he gets released, then part of his salary gets guaranteed. That's the only way it works.
Is that hit against the cap?
Yeah, it gets against the cap. Obviously, I think personally, it really depends on who they want to go after. Who they want to chase? Obviously, if the Clippers don't make it far in the playoffs, then there's a good possibility that maybe the Heat might want to save some of those contracts, including Goran, and try to do a sign trade, because right now they don't have the cap space to sign him outright if they want to go after Kawhi. It's hard to tell. I think the most obvious is just keep the same roster and just re-sign Victor Oladipo and be an over the cap team. That's like the most obvious. And then if you really wanted to, we could still have some cap space, re-sign Victor under his cap hold. And then you can try to go after a player like Kyle Lowry, and you can try to team those two up. But that would require, obviously, declining both Goran and Iggy's team options. So there's a couple different ways that he could build onto this roster. I definitely think they're going to bring back Duncan just because his cap hold's so minimal. And no matter what contract they give him, I think they'll be able to make it work, even probably with the luxury tax. If they pay the luxury tax, at least it's not a repeater tax. And I think whatever roster they bring in next year should be the roster that they think is going to compete for a title. I think this year we're seeing, like, obviously there's holes that we wish we could fill. And I think next year we'll have a lot more flexibility to fill in those holes if needed.
I think the harder decision, this may be a hot take between Victor and anybody else, would be Victor and Deadman. I think that they may really try to keep him. That's an element that I don't think.
I mean, he's on a Deadman contract. They could bring him back on a higher salary, actually, just because they have an early bird on, I think, on his option. But if anything, they could also just re-sign him to one of the exceptions.
Same with Goron. If they decline his option, they can bring back Goron on one of the exceptions. So they got options. I don't know how many of the guys on his team that they'll actually will bring back. I think
they can split the
honestly,
MLE.
I don't think Nunn's going to be back next year just because I think if they had to once you're paying a lot of these guards, which is what's going to end up happening, I think he's probably one of the last people you would want to pay if you're going to bring back this entire like group back, you know.
I also think that like you can't really do any foreshadowing on this. Like, we need to see the playoffs play out
100%.
Just because I'm in the camp of none of them are back until they're back. Like, I just if we were doing it right now, I would say, oh, I have the option of this, this, and this. Okay, then I'm actually letting a few of these players walk. Yeah. And that's just based on right now. So we don't know what happens during the playoffs, because the idea too is that like, if you're taking this off season and you're saying, we've looked at the landscape, this is what we need to do to get out of the East and to, you know, win the championship, then you can't sit there and tell me you're going to pick up Gorn's option and then you're going to let a lot of these other people walk past you. Like, that's, to me, that's not an option. Like, I love Gorn, but like, if he doesn't really show us something in the playoffs, that's not an option I'm picking up.
I don't think they ever planned on picking up his option. I always felt it was somewhat understood, or the way it was structured was like, here's your one-time balloon payment, kind of like what we were talking about last season.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have the, that's why it was a team option, because I think every contract he's had has had a player option. They're like, we're going to give you a team option so that depending how next year looks, we can decline it and we would want to keep you, but...
That was for a sign-in. And I think that was kind of Giannis insurance, because when they were, I think they kind of saw the writing on the wall with the BAM contract and they knew that they weren't going to have cap space to sign a max player outright. So by giving Goron that team option and by giving Andre that team option, and I also believe that Redacted had a team option as well, they could have cobbled together enough salary for a huge sign and trade.
Well, that's 45 million right there.
Yeah. So I think that was the thinking with that.
Right. But the idea is, because I always stick with the idea is to win. So you need to like look and see what you're lacking. You're lacking a real point guard.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care how you're going to cobble Vic and somebody else in the backcourt. At the end of the day, you need a point guard that can make plays effortlessly for other people, who can hit the open shot, who knows when to slow the game down, who knows when to speed the game up. You need that. You don't have that, and you still don't have it with Vic.
So,
go ahead.
Dr. Seuss in chat is saying that Nunn is a restricted free agent, which is true, and that's going to be, I think, one of the hardest. He's going to get a meaty offer from somebody.
Oh yeah, he's gonna get that money. But he's still not the type of player I'm talking about. Like, because for me, if you're keeping Nunn, like you're paying him starters money, but I feel like he should be a sixth man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
it's tough because the market for the point guards that I think you and I would want it's a little dry. I think it may be kind of looking at what they can do for Lowry and kind of agree on the years. I know that something was floated around. It was like 2 years for 50, so 25 each. Which,
oh man, if you give Nunn 10 million and then trade him and Iggy, sign and trade.
Nunn's going to make more than 10, and I don't think the Raptors would need a guy like that. But, I mean, Lowry 2 for 50 or something like that, 2 for 45. That expires when Jimmy's deal expires, and I just think that you always want to kind of stack your contracts so that they expire at the same time, especially with your stars. So you kind of have a good idea of what you want your future to be. What's up, Alf? Mm-hmm.
What's up? What are we talking, off-season talk?
We were going to get into BAM stuff right now. We were just kind of – we were talking about Andre and what they're going to do with Andre's team option, and we kind of got a little bit sidetracked.
I said last night on Hangover Time that Andre shot attempts should not go against their field goal percentage, but should count as it should count as turnovers. Like every
you
time
see that layup.
Oh no! It should just count as a turnover because it like we come on. Let's stop playing around. That's not a real shot attempt. It's just giving the ball back to the other team. Should be counted as a turnover. I'm not counting it against the Heat's field goal percentage. I'm going to do the math when the season's over and give you guys their real field goal percentage.
I test. Dude, when he – there were a couple of those fucking layups that he put up that I screamed, what the fuck? I got so mad.
There's not a single time anymore that he shoots where I feel good about it. Even when he makes it, I get mad.
I don't feel good when he catches the ball anywhere on the floor. I got to be honest with you.
And he's not even defending well. There was a closeout where he led with his shoulders. And
bro,
I'm like,
I know exactly the one you're talking about. I was like, hands up, dude. What the fuck? Your arms are long.
Like, what? I don't understand what the shoulder's going to do. He has nice big shoulders. I'm glad he's proud of him. But, like, what are you doing? Like, he like led like a fullback. Like it was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. But
who has the nicest shoulders in the NBA?
Who has them? Andre Drummond.
I knew it.
Who has sucked? By the way, thank God they got Deadman. The Lakers are probably watching Deadman, being like, "Damn, that could have been us."
Deadman was out there looking around like, "Who are these clowns?" Last night,
Mr. Deadman, baby.
Like Mr. Deadman was looking at KZ Akpala like, "What do you do here, son?"
So disappointed in him.
Yeah, like, what's your role here, boy?
Alvin, you want to keep Deadman for next season, right? Like, you want him back?
I don't want to overpay him, or I don't want to go crazy. Like,
think about the content, though. Think about as content creators. Like,
oh, as content, yes. Like, he's worth more to us than he is to the Heat.
I tweeted that out the other day. I was like, he may have given us more content then he's given the Heat production, and that's crazy because he's been awesome.
He's been amazing.
How hard do you think it would be to get him on the podcast? He's like the Solomon Hill from this.
We should try that, Alf.
I'm just worried that he'll be offended by, you know, like the driving Miss Daisy Photoshop. Like,
no, we can't show him that. I mean, he might like the Deadman Garage.
I think he might. The Deadman's Garage is funny. Some of it is just.
Do you think Solomon Hill's ever played with Deadman? Do you think he might have his phone number just laying around by any chance?
We'll get on that. You know, we should try that. I'm going to try for that. I'm gonna try to see if we can maybe in the week between the playoffs we can get Dwayne Deadman on. That might be a lot of fun.
I don't know. I want to get Deadman on. I want to get him on in the off season where we just talk to him about like I really want to know what he was doing.
Engines.
I want to know what he was doing like while he was not signed to a team. Because if he says fixing up old cars, if he says fixing up old cars, I'm going to lose my shit.
That's the place in the transmission of like an antique Pontiac.
If he just says something like, "Oh man, I was just working in my garage," I'm gonna have brass hit the buzzer immediately on him.
That interview's over.
That's all we need, and we got the soundbite. Thanks.
Listen, I think there might be a connection here with Solomon Hill and Dwayne Deadman, because obviously Solomon Hill is playing for the Hawks. Last time Dwayne Deadman played, he was on the Hawks.
We can do this, Brian.
It's only a year apart, but there's players on that Hawks roster that might
still have degrees of separation. Just degrees
There's at least 2 degrees of separation here. I think we can make it happen.
Let's get this done. I want him in the offseason. I don't want to talk to him about Heat basketball.
You just want to talk
to him? I want to talk to him.
What if we did like a megapod where we had both him and Solomon Hill on the same
time? My God. So much life experience between those two.
What do you think Deadman and Udonis talk about on the bench?
Just old times.
Not Richard.
8-track tapes.
They do the Shaq and like Charles thing, how they hate how the game has changed.
Oh, Deadman hates the way – hates three-pointers. He hates them. Deadman has no respect for Duncan Robinson. He hates the three-point play. He hates three-point shots. He wants to go back to bully ball, you know.
You think he's ever heard of a podcast?
What's that? No, he doesn't know what a podcast is. He's gonna be. We're gonna call him. He's gonna be tapping his radio. Like what?
He's confused by people dribbling with both hands now.
He's like, what is all this? fancy like, outfit.
Back in my day, Jerry West.
He's like, why are these shorts so long? Anyway, I gotta go, guys. I just gotta
go. Take care.
Take care. Right.
Last couple minutes of the show, Tiff. Let's gather ourselves. That was hilarious. Let's talk a little bit about Bam before we get out of here, because we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about that. So Bam, you know, not his best scoring output of the season. 11 points, 9 rebounds, 11 assists, 4 of 10 from the field. 6 free throws, so not bad, but not, you know, what you want it to be. I like what you and Jack have been saying. It's just not who he is. He's in year 3, and I think if you want him to be a different person, you're just barking up.
Right. You do. You've got to let his talent develop in such a way, because he's playing his role right now. He's doing what the team is asking him to do. He's playing great defense. He's setting up his teammates. He's taking the shot when he feels it's there, not when we feel it's there. See, that's the difference. Like, because I can watch and go, oh, there was probably like 15 more times he was open for the shot. But that's through my lens. Through his lens, that may not be the shot for him. So that's why I keep saying we're going to have to take the good with the bad, because he's not a fully formed player yet. He's not even close to what his mega potential is. Like, he's not even close.
No ceiling.
Exactly. So these are the things we just got to ride out. And his aggressive level on the offensive end, it wanes, because with most young players, that's what happens. He's not, you know, he's not playing for, like, who's like the worst team? Who has the worst record in the league? Like, I don't even know. But
I think okay, it's the Rockets.
You're right. So he didn't go to Houston with Kelly, because had Bam gone to Houston, guess what? He would have had to shoot 25 times a game, because there's no one else to shoot. There's no one else to run offense through, you know? But he wasn't fortunate enough to fall to the Rockets. He's with the Heat, where they have other options on offense, where they don't need him to shoot 30 times a night, but he could if he wanted to.
Remember, he was a backup too when he started.
Right. Right. So at some point, we want that could and that should to become a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
100%. And I think he'll get there. Yeah. I also think that, you know, Jack has said this a lot on Twitter, that he doesn't really have the guards that are good passers in pick and roll to really get
him. He doesn't. If you notice, sometimes when he gets into the post, and even when he puts his hand up, they don't even make the proper post entry.
Jimmy's the only one.
They're throwing it to his offhand, and it's like, guys, his hand is up in the air. He's calling for it.
Why, I don't remember if it was passing? Chris or or Alf last night on Hangover Time. They were saying, like, you see, like, Goran, Nunn, all these guys, like, they'll pick up the ball and they put it above their head like they're going to pass it to him, and he's got a small guy on him, and they, like, fake it 2 or 3 times, and then they're like, I'll just pass to the left.
Yep. They do that air pump fake, which is the most ridiculous thing, because it's like, if you're going to get that ball that far, then you need to release it to him while he's ready.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other problem is that if it does reverse, Bam doesn't reverse his post and call for it. Like, he doesn't call for it on the other side. It's kind of like, if he doesn't get it, then, oh, well, I'm not in this play, so let me just get ready.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things that are happening for him. And, you know, he's ahead of schedule. And there's a lot of pressure because he's young, and it's him or Jimmy. That's it. Like, this is how they're read right now. It's him and Jimmy. There's no in between. Go ahead, G.
No, I thought yesterday was another example of, like, where kind of Jimmy's just value for everybody on the team. Even if Jimmy and Bam don't run like a high screen and roll at the top, you know, if Jimmy screens a little bit off ball, kind of gets in motion, isn't a threatening position on the floor, it gives Bam a little more breathing room to kind of make a move he likes. Bam's not a tight quarters type of scorer. You know, so he'll catch the ball under the rim and he'll squeeze one up and in. But just when he catches the ball on the elbow, he likes space. It's just not, he's just not a guy who's going to maneuver those tight spaces. So he's a guy that needs everyone on the floor to be in a threatening position, which I think he'll grow out of that. I think he'll get to a position where he doesn't need those optimal conditions. You know, he's like a succulent, right? Right. Succulents are they're hard to raise. Succulents are not easy. They're very fickle. They need the correct kind of conditions for them to thrive. But when they do, they're amazing and they're beautiful. You're like, wow, this is like one of the most incredible plants I've ever had. And then when, you know, it's not going so great, you're just like, why are you such a pain in the ass? And I feel like that's kind of the BAM experience. He's a succulent.
I mean, can you imagine if he had a full off season and wasn't recovering from a shoulder injury? What he would look like?
Didn't he have COVID?
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
And, well, he had COVID before the playoffs, but he got hurt in the finals. He tried to come back, and then he had, what, a month and a half with no training camp, no nothing? Like, I know we were like, hey, where's all the moves you were supposed to add? It's like, with what fucking time?
I mean, he did have the jumper. Let's not.
Well, he had it. He's just more comfortable with it. He wasn't adding moves. He wasn't adding footwork or anything.
Hey, guys. I'm walking into.
Take care, Tiff.
All right, guys.
Take care.
All right.
Take care. Well,
bye,
I mean, that's kind of our show anyway. Brian, what would you have on the way out to finish your thought?
What I got on the way out, if you want to come out with one silver lining from last night's game, it's that the Mavericks are still ahead of the Lakers in the seeding.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with two-day shipping. And the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to roman.com/heatbeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, that's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to roman.com/heatbeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
Woke. Basically, we helped him.
Woke. That's the one that we had to lose. That was the must lose.
I have a silver lining.
They're still number six, so they're not in the play-in game just yet, but they're a game behind. Who's currently ahead of them in the standings? I had it up. So currently ahead of the standings in the Western Conference are the Trailblazers, who honestly, man, of all the teams that have really disappointed me, it's dumb because they should have beat the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
That was a game that we needed the Hawks to lose, and they were up.
Yeah, Blazers not helping us at all. Neither is Memphis. No. Memphis laid a goose egg against the Knicks.
And then I was looking at 538 because you know how they have like their little NBA predictions, kind of like stats?
Yeah.
So right now they got the Heat 96% to make the playoffs, 5% to make the finals, and 1% chance to win the finals.
Do they have the seeding percentages? Because 538's models are actually pretty good for that. And
They have the Heat finishing. Right now they have them projected to finish with a 38-34 record, which ties the Celtics. But I guess they're having us beat the Celtics enough to win the tiebreaker because we're ahead of them.
That would be two. So the Heat, man, that's weird. How would they tie the Celtics and beat them twice? That's crazy. That projection might not factor in the fact that Philly and Milwaukee may rest, so they may have those losses.
Probably. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, simulations.
So, they have the Heat finishing 38-34, Hawks finishing 40-32, Knicks finishing 40-32, so we would be the sixth seed.
Okay. There are worse things in the world. Brian M., what was your silver lining?
Oh, yeah, like going back to the loss last night, once we start losing and it's definitely like a blowout, I stop watching the score and I start watching like individual players, especially ones that are hurt or like to see what they're doing. And while Goran had a few good games, like points wise, and he was looking good, last night is the first time I felt not in bursts, but like the whole game he had speed again.
I don't disagree.
In transition.
I don't disagree. I think he's looked pretty good as of late. I think he's looked spry. I think he's looked not. I wouldn't say with burst, but he does look a little bit better. I don't think he's ever going to be what he was last season, but I think if he can provide a little bit of something off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to go a long way. We appreciate everybody who stopped by. Normally we would upload these to Patreon, patreon.com/MiamiHeatBeat. So if you miss any episode of this, of Locker Room, we will upload them there. Today we're going on the big boy show. We're going on the big feed. Tomorrow. So there's no Twitch stream tonight. We have 2 days off in between games and, you know, filling a lot of content is tough. So we're posting this to the podcast feed. So make sure to check that out. If you missed part of this and you want the rest and you want a little free preview of what we put on Patreon tomorrow on Twitch, 7 PM, we have a very special guest. I'm very excited. This might be the guest I'm most excited for all season. I'm very happy, and I think you guys are going to like our guests a lot. So make sure to check us out tomorrow, twitch.tv/MIAHeatBeat at 7 p.m. Eastern time for a live edition of Miami Heat Beat. And, of course, Hangover Time the day that follows on Friday against the Timberwolves in the Weird Al pregame show preceding the game 30 minutes before. So thank you guys so much for coming through. We appreciate you. We love you. Make sure if you – listen, I said this before. If you're not subscribed on YouTube, you should go do that. Follow us on Twitch and subscribe on YouTube. And if you subscribe on YouTube and if you tweet at MIAHeatBeat a screenshot proving that you're subscribed, we will follow you back. The subscriptions mean a lot to us. You don't understand. It's really tough. I've become a professional beggar. It's tough out here in these content creating streets trying to make a little bit of money to make sure that we all get paid and we have fun doing so. So the subscription helps because it really helps our algorithm. And that, you know, we're at YouTube's mercy. So if you can throw us a sub on YouTube, that would be huge. We would be indebted to you forever and tweet us so that we can follow you back. So we love y'all. Take care and enjoy the rest of your day.